If you would turn in your Bibles this morning to Esther chapter 9. Esther chapter 9. We were able, last time we went through Esther 2 weeks ago, to speak of what it meant to go to war, what it meant to bring justice, what it meant even to defend ourselves as believers. And as we continue in this chapter, I thought this would be the second part of chapter 9, but it looks like there might be one more following this about the importance of remembering, the importance of memorials, the importance of special days. Things that have been built into our calendar for us to look back and remember. But before we remember, and in part, a step before remembering or a step into these special days is this idea of a holiday, the idea of rest. And I titled this, "And They Rested," because that is what we find straight here in the text of verse 17, that after the defense of their lives and bloodshed occurring and battle and war inevitably happening, the people of Israel, all throughout the empire of Persia, they were able to rest. And I guess it was fitting, as I was able to come back from some time away myself and thinking about rest and a holiday, as this text even speaks about. The question for us this morning, with the time that we have left, is, do you find your rest in God and what He's done? Or are you striving to find your rest in something else? Do you find your rest in God and what He has done? Or are you striving to find your rest in something else? And I say striving because if we look to anything else other than God to find our rest, it's going to be laborious, hard work, toilsome, exhausting. And in some ways, part of my resting, at least what I enjoy or I find to be restful, some of you don't like it at all, is I read. For me, reading is just so restful. To maybe be transformed or transferred into some other story or some other world or some other fictional occurrence. Or maybe even for me, I just enjoy reading biographies and theological books to strengthen my own heart. And part of my time away was just to be enriched by what I was reading, to be encouraged by books. Now, I didn't just plop myself somewhere and read all day long. I did a few other things as well. As I was speaking to someone, the islands of Hawaii are just phenomenal creations of our Creator. And if you ever get a chance to go, I don't know which one's the best one. I guess you can take a pick. But from what I saw, they all seemed pretty amazing, flying over a few of them. But this idea of rest. Maybe the question before is not just do you find your rest in God, but do you rest? What about this idea of rest? This thought of actually taking a day off, which somehow is becoming so shocking in our American culture. A day off? And of course, if we have a family and we have little kids, we wonder, really? Is it a day off? But there is something about ceasing from the work put before us to rest. There's not just something about it. God showed us that even He instituted it. In the very beginning of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it states that after God made all that He had made in the 6 days, on the seventh day, He rested, using that same word. The Jews here rested. God rested on the seventh day. Did God need to rest? Was He exhausted making all that He had made? No. No, He was not. The infinite, eternal God that never sleeps or slumbers. He didn't rest because He was exhausted. He rested to show us, to be the first example, to let us know that part of what He has made and the rhythm of life must involve rest. And that might be a strong way to say that, but it must involve rest. And I'll be personally honest, I have a hard time sometimes to just rest, to sit still, to say I need to spend time thinking and pondering and, singing while I'm resting, whatever it might be. But we must put this into the rhythm of our lives. We have become a culture that is all about production, productivity, efficiency, work and work and work. And we have done amazing things in doing so and being so productive and so work-oriented. But what is the hardest, I think, for all of us is to also take seriously God's command of a Sabbath. I mean, it used to be that Sunday was kind of that easy day to do so. But I think even Sunday now has become so difficult to really sit back and say, this is a day for me to rest. Rest in what God has done. Rest with the people of God. Now, we don't have 3 services on Sunday, but if we did, it would cause you maybe to come and have to rest. You couldn't use the rest of your Sunday to work. But how difficult it is, I think, in our day and age to rest. What does resting allow us to do? Well, there's 4 things that happen with the people of Israel this morning. And I just want to quickly go through these. We won't be reading a lot this morning. We will finish up chapter 9 next week, but we will look at verses 17 through 23 this morning. And really, just 4 things stand out in this short section of what the people of God do when, after they have defended themselves, they have worked for their own lives to make sure they stay alive. What then? Well, let's read verse 17 of Esther chapter 9. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. That was the decree day when everyone else could attack Israel and try to annihilate them. We've already seen that another decree came out where Israel was allowed to defend themselves. And I believe by God's providence, even though we don't see it in the words, we see Him working through this whole story behind the scenes, that even the officials and rulers and many of those in Persia all throughout the empire began to fear the Jews and to hold them higher than they did and to actually be afraid of this day. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar. And on the 14th day, they rested and made that day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th day, as Esther had commanded for the edict that they would defend themselves on 2 days, and so they rested on the 15th day, making that a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who live in the rural towns hold the 14th day of the month of Adar as a day for gladness and feasting, as a holiday, and as a day on which they send gifts of food to one another. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all of the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. And I just want us to look at 4 points from this section. The first is that when we rest, we go from fasting to feasting. As the Jews who were in peril with this decree of annihilation hanging over their heads, do you remember what they did in chapters 4 or 5? What they were asked to do throughout the whole empire as Esther was about to go before the king to be the means of possibly saving them? She asked all Jews to fast, to do without, to sacrifice, to use less time eating and more time beseeching the Lord, worshiping Him, reading His Word. That initial reason of fasting hasn't changed. It's a practice that kind of has gone by the wayside in many ways in a lot of churches, but it is still a discipline of grace when we choose to do without something so that we can have more time for spiritual nourishment, whatever that might look like. To say, you know what, I spend an hour or so doing this or watching this, and what if I use that hour instead for X, Y, Z? That's a form of fasting. Esther called all of the Jewish people to fast and put on sackcloth and be sorrowful and mourn and pray and beseech the Lord for this important occasion. But we see that fasting is eclipsed, overtaken by feasting here in chapter 9. There is no longer a need to beseech the Lord for these important requests. Lord, would you use Esther to save us? Lord, would you use our might and our strength and our swords to defend us? Those are now in the past. And instead of fasting and beseeching, there is time for celebration. When we're resting in what God has done, we are given the cause to celebrate. When we think about what God has done for us, it should give us every reason and every cause to celebrate. I can only imagine this is why the people of Israel here in Susa and throughout the whole empire go. What shocks me is they go from defense and bloodshed and war right into celebration. This book continues to astound me at where this story is taking us, from a battle and war to now feasting and joy and gladness and generosity. Because I believe the people of God saw God defend them. Even as we looked at a few weeks ago, that they saw God fulfill the promises that He had made to His people. And we know that He will, because He does not go back on His word. And I think for us, if we want to go from a sense of beseeching and crying out to God and in some ways doing without, to celebrating and joy. If we want to go from maybe even feeling empty or feeling sorrowful or feeling without, that the filling process, the celebration process, is all about looking at what God has done. And no, we're not in the day of Esther, but what has God done in your life, in my life? What has He brought to us that has brought satisfaction and hope and a reason to live? I don't know if you remember this story, but this one came to my mind as I was thinking about what it means to rest in God. And it's the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus tells Martha as she comes to Him and says, "Jesus, would you go talk to Mary? She's not doing the work that I am doing. I'm busy cleaning the house, and she's just sitting at your feet listening to you." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried or anxious," another translation, "and upset about many things." Isn't that the first key of our resting? I think this world or this culture that we are in, with now its phones and its calendars everywhere you look, and appointments and obligations and I can't forget this, by default we are filled and could be overwhelmed by worries and troubles and things that continue to bombard us on a daily basis, and that keep us like Martha, running here and running there and busy, and oh, I'm late for my appointment already. Or is that just only me? I don't know. But to not be taking cues from Martha, but Jesus tells Martha to take cues from Mary. Mary has chosen the better portion, to sit at my feet and listen to my words. How do we take our restlessness and rest? And I believe it begins by being at the feet of Jesus. Remember what God has done. He has really filled us from fasting to feasting. He has taken us from being without hope in this world, without a Savior, without a way to deal with our sins. And He has said, "I have taken care of that for you. I have brought a Savior. I have given you every spiritual blessing," as 2 Peter chapter 1 says, and 1 Peter chapter 1. "All that I have is yours now, because you are a son and daughter in the kingdom of God." That should amaze us and cause us to realize that we are a people who can feast, who can celebrate. First Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." What a great reminder that everything that we enjoy, everything that has been given to us, we are to bring back to the Lord in thanksgiving. Whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. We need to be reminded that the fruits of our labor are ultimately not from our fruits and our labor. It is from a God who's bestowed those upon us. The food that we eat on a daily basis, the jobs that we have, or the to-do lists that never stop ending for some of us. Those really are from the Lord. to allow us to labor and make things beautiful and create things just like our Creator. But we are in a season of feasting. God has given us everything we need in Jesus Christ. And like the Jews here who won the battle, and they are now celebrating that victory. Oh, how easy it is for us to forget in the victory that we have, when we need to remember and rest in what God has done. Secondly, we go from fasting to feasting. We also go from sorrow to gladness. When we see what God has done, we have every reason to rejoice. I don't know for you, but at least for me this last week, as I got a few extra days off, it allowed me also time to not just look at God's truth, to think about who He was, but it brought me to respond in worship. I believe that's part of this rejoicing, this joy that God gives to us when we have seen what He has accomplished. It not just makes us want to feast, but it makes us want to rejoice and have joy and sing and be glad. I love when we get to sing songs to prepare our hearts. There's songs that allow us to worship our God, to remember who He is and who we are. And that really is supposed to cause us to rest. To say, you know what, all those calendar things or to-do lists or appointments or what's ahead for this week, it pales in comparison when I get to look at my God and worship my God and see who He is. And it also helps us when we are in sorrow to remember what we've been given and to help us toward gladness. To remember that many in the Psalms and throughout Scripture did the same thing. They were deep in sorrow, in darkness, they said, in the depths of the pit. And what brought them out? Continual phrases of, "But You, O Lord, and when I remembered You, O God, and when I looked upon Your precepts and Your truth, I was able to sing again. I was able to have joy again." For these people of Israel, they're feasting. They have gladness. The victory has been won. And that's true for us. We don't have to strive to win. We don't have to strive to make it. We don't have to try and please or work our way to acceptance with God. We have been accepted. The work has been done, the most important work. And when we realize that God has done that work for us, it makes our work a pleasure. It makes our work enjoyable. It makes our work a response. We get to work because of God's work that He's already done for us. We get to serve others because of what God has worked and served on our behalf for us. We get to create things and bless others with the things that we create because God has provided eternal life. And He's created in us a new creation. He has done it all for us. And I have to be reminded over and over again, I work out of the work that God has already done for me. I can actually work and labor in rest, realizing that God has done the most important thing for me. There's a scripture correction, actually, for this second point. John 6:22 should be John 16:22. And it speaks of what we have received in God, we can now give out to others. John 16:62. Let me just read that real quick for us. 16:22. Sorry about that. 16:22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. And what we receive, we get to give out. What we receive, we give out. And we're going to see that here in point four. He's taking our fasting to feasting. He's taken our sorrow to gladness. But it also says there in Esther chapter 9, in verse 22, that he has turned our mourning into a holiday. He's turned our mourning into a holiday? What's that mean, that we should have a holiday? Well, think of the context. They were mourning, actually looking at death in the face, looking at this date set for them for their annihilation, and seeing no hope, without hope, without a future. And to take that attitude, that outlook on life of mourning, of hopelessness, and turning it into a holiday. The truth is, we have been given the greatest holiday. I might have taken a trip away and it gave me some rest, gave me some quiet times, gave me some extra time to do what's restful to me, but it makes us think about a rest that is future and that is going to be forever and that will never fade away. A holiday that is waiting for us. A room in a mansion with a city of streets of gold. Can you imagine saying, okay, I'm going on a holiday, and that's your destination? Well, for the believer, we don't have to mourn in hopelessness. We don't have to be stuck thinking this life is all there is and be afraid of death. And for these people of God, they were able to go from mourning and to celebrate life and to have a holiday. Pretty much in the Hebrew, that just means a good day. And we all like to have those good days. Maybe for you, it's getting out on a boat, catching some fish. Maybe for you, it's going on a jog. Maybe for you, it's going to the coast or jumping in an airplane and flying somewhere. Some of you, that's not a holiday at all. But when we're given seasons of rest, holidays, when we celebrate holidays, even in this country, may it remind us of the holiday that is awaiting us. The place where we will be perfectly at rest. No more tears, no more pain. As Revelation 21:4 says as well, no more mourning. There will be no reason to mourn, no reason to have sorrow. For Jesus Christ will be our light and he will shine. And there will be no more night. It will always be day. What a great holiday that will be. There's a quote and an illustration by one of my loved authors, C.S. Lewis, and he says, so many of us were given the offer of a holiday at the ocean with the waves crashing But we're okay to settle with just sitting in a sandbox and playing with our sand toys. When what we've been given is a holiday, a vacation at the sea. And to just be able to look out and wonder at what God has created. But yet sometimes we just settle for sitting in our sandboxes and looking around us and saying, this is amazing. Look at all the sand. And I think it's just a great illustration that we become so nearsighted and forget what we have been given. Life eternal, a holiday that will never end with Jesus Christ. So from fasting to feasting, from sorrow to gladness, from mourning to a holiday, and interestingly enough, from getting to gifting. From getting to gifting. Wasn't that amazing that they went from defending their lives to celebrating and having a feast and giving out gifts to the poor? Saying we shouldn't just enjoy all this ourselves. This celebration should be given to whoever needs it. To go from defending their lives and being on the defense and wondering who is going to now attack me, to now actually giving out gifts and food to the hopeless and the helpless, to the poor and the needy. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, this same passage in Isaiah 61 is read by Jesus in the synagogue when he comes and he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift we can give to the poor, to the hopeless, to the helpless, to the exhausted, to the one who's been striving, and say, Jesus can provide you rest. Like Mary and Martha, right? Mary has chosen the better portion, Martha. I'd love to say, Martha, good for you, your hard work. This house looks immaculate. But look at your sister Mary. She's sitting at my feet. She has chosen what is most important. And when we sit at Jesus' feet, when we rest with him, and we, I don't know, open his word or pray, or maybe some of us enjoy just singing by ourselves in worship songs, when we are close to Jesus and we receive him first, then everything else is righted. We work because we've been with Jesus. We serve because we've been with Jesus. We give to the poor because we've been with Jesus. We get to do all of these things out of being with him, out of resting in what he's done for us. So the question that I posed in the beginning is the reality that the Jews experienced. There's one phrase I want to close with in verse 22. It says, the Jews got relief from their enemies. Rest. Peace. There was now no longer an enemy against them. And it'll be a glorious day when we are finally relieved from the battle that we are a part of, the spiritual battle of sin and brokenness around us and death that we see on a daily basis. We will one day be relieved. Let go of those weights and anxieties. The Jews experienced some relief from their enemies. We have been given relief from our greatest enemy, Satan himself. And there will be a day when we are relieved from these bodies and given a new body that will live for all of eternity. May we remember that Jesus, in sitting at his feet, allows us to feast and have gladness, allows us to believe that we are in a holiday in some ways, and that out of that rest, we can give and serve and say, who needs to be blessed today? Who needs an encouragement today? Maybe it's in the form of a gift. That's what the Jews did here in Esther 9. Do you find your rest in God today? Or are you finding it or striving to find it in something else? Do you find your rest in Him today? That's a question for all of our hearts. Let's close in prayer. Father God, our hearts are restless until we find our rest in You. That was one of our early church fathers. And I believe he spoke a powerful truth. That we will strive and we will try and we will work and we will labor and we will go to exhaustion, trying to maybe gain acceptance or find favor or fill in the blank. But Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ is that we have been given favor. The work has been done. The greatest challenge, the need for our sins to be taken care of, has been taken care of in Jesus Christ. And You extend Your hand with this gift to us. You are the gift giver. And You say, receive this gift I have given to you, life forevermore in Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone in this room who is working and striving and running to the point of exhaustion, may they find in the message this morning that there is life and peace and rest when they receive the gift that Jesus is offering to them. Lord, if there is anyone in this room, may they hear that this morning. Forgiveness of sin, a new creation is offered. May all of us in this room take that and receive that. And I pray that many have already done so and would realize the life and the joy and the holiday that they are now in as new creations. Lord, may I remember that on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.